Out.
Wait a minute. Are you just making this crap up, Ray?
No, I'm not.
All right. Oh,
didn't we just
Christ's
ask
sake.
You that? So
I swear to God.
Discussion
I
this
swear
way.
To God. Listen, Ray, I know this seems normal to you, but this is real rigid.
Real abusive. And it's what I said at the
all
opening,
right? Yeah,
I want
Cruz
now
right.
I want that dollar back.
What dollar? I didn't get the dollar.
The one I was going to give you for coming up with military.
All right, you got it back. Choke on it. I hope you buy a granola bar with it and you get hepatitis from it.
What is it with people that they can't just bring it out?
Because, first off, people are defensive. And secondly, this was normal to Ray.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem bizarre to him. If you grew up with my hippie mom, then it would seem bizarre. You understand?
Really bizarre.
Yeah, hey, Zorback dropped his joint. You know, that was my life.
Oh, carpet's on fire.
Yeah, what carpet? All right, Ray.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. You grew up in a real rigid environment.
Abusive.
And abusive.
Let's use it in my term.
Mildly abusive. And now you're sort of acting this out in your sexual relationship, okay?
All right.
Now, here's the deal. Instead of trying to settle everything by getting your girlfriend to walk on your back wearing a pair of stiletto heels, why don't you just work it out instead of acting it out? You know what I mean? A little therapy. Clear up a few things, free yourself up. Then you don't have to be a slave to it and act it out the rest of your life.
And by the way, the career in law enforcement is not such a bad idea for him, frankly.
No, it's fine.
You know, it helps him express some of that stuff so he doesn't get it stuck in his relationships.
Yeah. Well, listen, I was talking to someone today about why cops are always beating the crap out of people and how we're always surprised. Oh, we're surprised. Oh, they shouldn't have done that. That was excessive. That guy who came at him just had a screwdriver. They didn't have to shoot him. And here's my thing. This is why they're cops, everybody. I mean, this is the personality.
Some of them.
Listen, I wouldn't be a cop. You wouldn't be a cop. Mike wouldn't be a cop. And the people you work with wouldn't be a cop. They don't have the temperament for it. I mean, they don't have that contained aggression.
Mm.
That sort of purposeful aggression.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it takes a certain personality to walk around with a gun strapped on you and know you might have to use it.
Aren't you glad they are there?
Yeah, I am. And
see?
The people that do the beating or the people that wouldn't do the beating don't become cops.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not saying all cops are bad, but that is part of the character makeup of these guys.
Some of them.
And by the way, here's my whole take on anything a cop does to anybody. I don't care if he pumps 7,000 rounds into each one of your nostrils. If you start it, I'm fine with it. I don't care what the outcome is. Meaning, if you take a rock and throw it at the squad car and they pull over with bolt action, or I should say pump action shotguns, and him and his partner put 7,000 rounds into you, I'm fine with that. You shouldn't have thrown the goddamn rock at the cop
car. Or if when the guy asks you to come over, you go, screw you. And
when the cop tells you to lie down and you don't lie down and he wants to take a baton upside your head, I'm fine with that. You know why? Because I will always lie down when a cop tells me to lie down. And that's all you hear is the news is, oh, the guy had a rusty screwdriver and he was staggering toward the cops and they told him to drop it 15 times. He wouldn't drop it and they opened fire on him and these cops are using excessive force and there are 35 of them and certainly they could have fired a beanbag into his groin and knocked the thing out of him, or they could have stunned him, or they could have pepper sprayed him. And you know what? They're right. But you know what? I don't care, because I'm never staggering toward a battalion of police with a screwdriver and ignoring their pleas for me to drop it. And therefore, I don't care. And I don't care about anyone else that happens to. You know why? Because you started. If you break into somebody's house and you want to steal a mint from the coffee table and the guy blows your head off with a shotgun, I don't care. You shouldn't have broke into his goddamn house. That's the way I feel with the cops. Every night I drive home, I listen to the news, and it's one beef up against the next with the cops. Oh, excessive this, excessive this, excessive this. You know what? Leave them alone. Stay out of their face. And when they tell you to get down and put your hands down in front of you, do it. And believe it or not, all the troubles are going to go away.
I think your Culver City friends will stop by tonight.
Yes, they should. That's right. What am I wearing tonight, Drew?
Culver City Police Department hat.
I wear this hat whenever I drive through Culver City, and as soon as I get in L.A., I put an LAPD cap, and then when I get into Burbank, I put the Burbank cop hat on. Seriously, what do you think your chances of getting pulled over wearing the hat of the department that pulls you over? Don't you think that's got to get you at least a 40% chance of getting a warning?
Potential. Yeah.
That's right. That is the ass I'm willing to kiss. Christina?
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's going on?
My best friend, he just became sexually active. And before this, sex never really came up. But then once he became really sexually active, that's all he ever talks about with me. And I'm not ready, but...
Who's he having sex with?
Everyone and anyone.
Oh, boy. I was always waiting for that day where I became sexually active. It never seemed to come around. There's very small doses of sprinkling of sex here or there over years, you know? But it wasn't that, hey, I turned the corner. I'm now sexually active. He wants to have sex with you?
Yes, he does. And he says he fantasizes about it, and it's like...
And it screwed up your friendship.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's hard for me to forget our past and our past of what we had together, you know?
What'd you have?
It was nothing. It was just a basic friendship that was, there was nothing to it.
Yeah, you may never have that again with a male.
It's hard to forget your past and all you had.
Well, but listen.
What was it? Nothing.
No, but listen, they had a real intimacy, is what she's telling you.
Well, they were friends.
No, but very close friends.
And will you shush up? Were you very close friends?
We were close as friendships could be between a girl and boy without getting...
And right. Women really want and are talented at intimacy. And the guys at 17, boy, that's clouded. They lose track of that real fast.
Plus, once a guy gets that confidence, gets a few chicks under his belt, a few notches on his bedpost, you know, he's walking in, he's wearing like an ascot and a silk robe. He's walking in the kitchen, he's slapping his mom on the ass. You're looking tight, mom. You know what I mean? He's like some kind of playboy now.
He's under the influence of testosterone. Right.
So listen, just bring him back to earth a little bit.
Have you tried telling him how much you miss what you guys had?
I tried, but every time it comes up, it's nonstop.
You know you want it, baby.
Yes.
You know what? You may need a little distance from him for a while.
Or he'll just joke around about it, and he's saying all women are good for is just the hole in between their legs. And
oh, my God.
Crude things like that.
Wow.
Well, then why would you even bother wasting time with the guy? If he's not who you thought, he's no longer who you thought he was.
It's hard to let go of friendship.
Hold on a second.
I don't know. Why are you so tangled up in it? I mean, you're not interested in him physically, are you?
No.
Huh?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all.
Never.
Would you shush up?
I was earlier.
Aha. Uh-huh. You know? Yes. I was getting at something here, Drew. What happened?
I didn't find him attractive anymore. I'm the kind of person who goes leaps from one guy to another.
Leaps? Leaps from one guy to the other?
Yeah. I get boyfriends and then I lose them after a while, you know, because I expect more from the relationship. Uh-huh. I'm not willing to
do
anymore.
All right. Christina, listen. Cut this guy loose. I know you think you're close. Everyone thinks they're close when they're 17. Oh, it's going to go on forever. Drew, who do you talk to that you talk to when you're 17? There's a handful of idiots you see once in a while. You don't even like them. You know what I mean? It's fine. You just don't know it when you're 17. You think that's it. Believe me, there'll be other idiots you'll befriend. And it'll be based on something real. Not you sitting...
Based on work instead of school.
Yeah, but it's not going to be based on you sitting behind them in typing class or them living down the street. That's not that. All that is location.
Yeah. As opposed to who works in the desk next to you.
That's fate. Would you shut up? Ashley.
Hi.
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was cleaning my dad's car, and he was going to pay me to do it, and he told me don't clean the glove compartment. But, of course, I looked in the glove compartment, and I found a videotape of porn. And then a couple days later, I was putting his clothes away, and I found another videotape in his underwear drawer. And by then, I'm getting really curious about how much he actually has, so I looked in his closet. He has a whole, basket full of porn tapes.
It's like finding bees and finding a way to the hive.
You know? She went to the freezer to get a pop out the other night, and there was a whole stack of them.
Fell right out.
Wow. Is your dad single?
No, he's married. He's been married for, 16 years.
Mm-hmm. Funny that he... Well, now, was the one in the glove box, was he returning that to a video store or something?
I don't know, because the label was on that one with the name on it, and that was, from the 70s.
Ooh.
And then the ones that I found in his closet, all the labels were taken off. and they were more recent.
How do you know what they were if the labels were taken off?
Because I put them in the VCR to see what they were.
Oh.
Come on, I'm 14.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm wondering, is this normal?
Did you have to put all of them in there to figure out what they were?
No, I put the first one in.
Oh, okay.
God, there's like 15 tapes in there.
Wow.
But is that normal?
For him to have those tapes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine if Adam were your father.
I mean, 15's a little much.
Well, what do you think? If Adam were your father, what do you think you'd come across if you stumble into his...
I don't even want to think
bunker.
About it.
Bunker, yeah.
Listen, I don't think you found the mother lode yet. I suggest you get in the underpinning of the house and really start looking.
Well, isn't like 3 tapes enough after a while?
It is for the first week or so, but then you get bored.
He's some sort of
the same thing in all of them, right?
He is some sort of a aficionado, though. He's got the 70s stuff booked in. He has a special compartment for it in his car.
Okay. Let me explain a couple of things, Ashley.
Okay.
First off, thank God your dad's heterosexual. Thank God for that. And still married to your mom.
Yeah.
Secondly, your mom probably knows what's going on, too.
That's another thing I was thinking about. Should I ask her about it?
No, she's got... Would you quiet down, Drew? He has them in the underwear drawer. He has them in his car. He has them stacked up in the closet.
Well, why does he need one in his car, by the way?
Well, he could have just been transporting that one.
To his friends or something?
Guys will keep a porn in the car in case they get pulled over or something.
But no, this is like a novelty thing. The 70s thing. Maybe he was taking it to show a friend or something.
Could have just bought it. Could have acquired it somehow. Could have got it at a porn swap meet. So here's what I'm trying to say, Ashley. Here's why. How old is your dad?
He's 43.
All right. Let me see. I'm going to do some math here. I'm going to have 27,000 porn films by the time I'm 43. Here's the thing about a porn film. Back me up on this, Mike. You don't get rid of them. It's not like, well, I got 3. That's good. Because what happens is you buy one, and then a month later you buy one, and then when your buddies gives you one for a gag gift, and then you go to a bachelor party, and there's a bunch left behind or something, and you just keep adding to the collection. It's not like they're muffins or something.
You know, ever since I started working for this show, I've gotten so much free porn that I look like some kind of sick bastard now.
Right.
Because I have 2 drawers full now. I don't think I've seen more than about 4 of them.
Don't tell Adam this.
I can never get more than 10 minutes into them.
I can read his mind here.
But the point is, Mike, is it's not like you're ever going to clean out your porns and lighten the load a little bit.
I've been tempted lately.
But if you got 2 a year, by the time you were 43, you'd have 32 of these things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying this is what happened. So cut the guy a break.
All right.
And leave him alone.
I think if you feel comfortable talking to your mom about it, you should.
No.
And he ought to be encouraged by your mom to keep this more discreet. Yeah. And think maybe there are their little brothers and sisters around here. I mean, that could really screw with the younger
kid. And listen,
kid, folks
and kids, that strategy of don't look in the glove box.
Oh. What is that?
If you said to your 14, 15-year-old kid, listen, I don't want you to crack open the case of the transmission. They would drop the transmission and pull it apart.
Maybe a good way to get it sort of...
Good way to sidetrack them.
Get the oil change or something.
You can do a lot of damage to your transmission. I'm just saying don't look in the glove box while you're spending 2 hours armor-alling the interior of the car.
Guarantees
it. Is ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Okay, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Rusty. Someone tweaked his pierced nipple, and it's still all hard now. All right. Oh, and it is all hard now. What's up? We'll tell him what's up after this.
Hi, this is Thomas Calabro, Dr. Michael Mancini from Melrose Place, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it was the last episode tonight of Melrose Place, right? Yeah, I had to go upstairs and take one of my bizarre 22-minute naps.
Why is that bizarre?
It's weird to nap for, you know, 19, 20, 21 minutes.
That's all I ever do if I get a nap.
Yeah, but you doze off on your sofa with your kids jumping up and down on your chest.
That's right.
I go upstairs, put an eye shade on, get my underpants, and really nod off. I mean, I go to bed. I'd put that Ebenezer Scrooge sock hat on if I could. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Blow out the candle.
A big night shirt.
Put the cat out. I mean, I really bunk down for 18, 19 minutes, which is weird. I got a comforter pulled up under my chin and everything.
That is weird.
It is weird. And I go out, and the thing goes off. I don't even know where I am. I'm always scared I'm going to sleep through the show. And by the way, I set my alarm for well after 9 now. I mean, it takes me a half hour to get here, and I get up at 9:15. And that's why I put the slippers and the pajamas on. I don't know where I am. I just stagger out of the door. You know how much time I traditionally allow myself? I get up before work. Anywhere between 8 and 11 minutes. And that's at night. I mean, if I have to be at work at 10 a.m., and I have to leave my house at 9:45 in the morning, the alarm set, 9:35, 9:40. I just plan on getting up and leaving. You know the people like to shower and read the paper? I don't get that.
That's me. Got to shower, shave.
Shave?
Yeah.
Read the paper?
The front page, at least.
I bring my toiletry bag to work, and I shave at work. If I have to shave at all, and then I just wear slip-on stuff.
I have no time for that.
And I don't tie my shoes until I get to work. It's too daunting.
You don't wear shoes that have ties.
I do. I do during the day, yeah. I just don't tie them until I get to work. All right. And you know what? I sleep the first 2 hours of work. You know how you're still groggy for a couple hours after you wake up in the morning? Hey, I'm on the clock, brother. I don't spend that at home. I punch in, and then I'm groggy. Rusty?
Yeah.
You got red hair?
No.
Really?
No, it's blonde.
Did you at one time have reddish hair?
No.
How do you get to be rusty with blonde hair?
Oh, it's just a nickname.
Yeah?
hold on a second. Oh, I was all wrong about this whole rusty thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I thought they picked it up in an MRI or something, or in the when they do the fetal ultrasound thing, and I saw your hair was going to be red. Okay, all I'm saying is most guys named Rusty, hair was red at some point.
No.
That's why, hence the nickname. See?
No.
All right. What's going on?
Well,
wait a minute. How did you get called Rusty then?
My middle name is Russell.
All right. We'll go for that.
Anyway, Adam, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great.
Say that. About 2 weeks ago, I was in Oregon, and I was at this party, and I got my nipple pierced about 2 months ago, and this guy gave me a really bad titty twister. And
why?
Well, I don't know.
You're just at somebody else's party, and the guy grabs you?
Basically, yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. He
could have ripped the whole thing out.
Yeah, it didn't feel very good.
Was it one of those nipple raves I was reading about?
No, it wasn't one of those. But then about a couple days after that, there was kind of, I could squeeze, and there was pus coming out.
That's nice.
And then now it's just really swollen, and there's a lot of hard substance.
Did he know you had a nipple ring?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
And I was wearing a shirt on and
right.
a jacket over that, and he just, I mean, I just assumed that he just went over to kind of laugh at it.
Screw with you.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
You got to see a Dr. Rusty. It's probably an infection, maybe an abscess. You really need to have it checked out quickly.
You know, I had this thought before, but I realize if I had a nipple ring or, God forbid, one of those honker penis rings or something, it would have been torn out thousands of times before I got out of high school.
Oh, with your friends. Just for fun.
Well, but if they didn't know about it, especially, I mean, they would come up, get you in a bear hug, throw you on the ground, you know, give you the Indian burns, give you the titty twisters.
What difference does it make
smack
if they knew
you
or not? If they knew, they'd be going for it. Hey, Adam's got it back in again. Quick, let's go get it.
They knew they'd go after it, but if they didn't know...
It incidentally would get torn out anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you couldn't walk... Wouldn't make it a day through school without one of your friends coming up behind you and getting you in a bear hug and lifting you off the ground or something. You'll never really fully appreciate that until you do something like crack a rib or something, and you try to make your way through high school for a couple of months with like a cracked rib. People will come up to you every day and push you. Well, I mean, bizarre stuff. They'll take like their knuckle and shove it right in your rib and not know. Allison, didn't you have friends, Drew? Didn't your friends do anything?
They weren't quite so aggressive and violent, though.
What was their idea of a good time? Like, let's take a pen and modify the monogram on Drew's ascot. Mm. So
read the National Review.
Yeah, we'll make the D look like a B by putting an extra line through it or something. We took his we took his issue of the Utney Reader and we hit it. I mean, what? Seriously, Drew? Didn't you have friends?
Yeah.
Didn't they do stuff to you?
Or anything that bizarre.
They didn't attack you constantly and throw you to the ground and kick you and pee on you and stuff?
Football season, people would do weird stuff, but not quite as elaborate as your friends.
All right. Whatever. Hey, Allison, go ahead.
Allison?
Fun.
Hey, Allison.
Okay, I'm on a cell phone.
All right.
Okay. Do you guys know much about Incubus?
The movie?
No.
The band?
The demon.
Oh, the demon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Last night when I was trying to go to sleep, I couldn't sleep very well last night, and I felt like somebody was, like, laying on top of me, and I kind of had, like, a little bit of a shortage of breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually, like, it actually felt like somebody was, like, touching my chest.
Right.
Today, yeah, tonight, that ever happened to you when you were younger?
No.
No?
No.
All right.
And,
Do you have any history of asthma?
Where do you live?
Chino.
Chino.
Yeah.
Hmm. And,
Allison, this needs to be evaluated.
What is the Incubus?
I looked it up on the internet, and it's the demon that, I guess, whatever rapes you at night.
Oh, really?
Do you have any other fears or fantasies?
I got attacked by the Jacubus once. It was just, possessed my left hand, and you know what it did, Drew? It forced my right hand to pick up a magazine.
Any other fears or fantasies you've had?
Five times a week that's happened for the last 17 years. Can you believe that?
Quite a powerful demon.
Got to get that Kenny Kingston over the house, in which case I'd get the Sotobus. Sweet spirit. All right, so listen, screwball. This doesn't exist. You're getting all whipped up about it. You
Allison,
understand?
Do you have any?
I believe in the Catholic religion. I'm not into all this crap.
Allison, do you have any other fears or fantasies? People thinking about you or talking about you? Hear voices or anything like that?
No.
Nothing like that.
No.
Well, did this incubus rape you?
No. It felt like somebody actually like grabbed my chest and it scared the hell out of me.
Were you dreaming it?
No, I was sitting up and looking around because I was very restless last night. I couldn't sleep.
Yeah. Do you ever have any night terrors?
No. I mean, everybody has nightmares, but that was a long time ago anyways.
But would you get up screaming in the middle of the night, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, not everybody has that, Allison. Those are night terrors, and these sorts of, along with night terrors, people frequently get these sort of these intermediate dream states they get into where they'll wake up and feel totally locked in, like they can't move a muscle in their body, and they feel like somebody's holding them in position or there's somebody in the room. Part of that also could be that they believe somebody's lying on top of them, holding them down, keeping them from breathing. It is part of this night terror syndrome, and that can even be sometimes associated with a seizure disorder. It is a sleep disturbance, has lots of potential different causes. I suggest you get looked into. It has nothing to do with somebody actually being there.
Drew, in all your 57 years of living on this planet, have you ever seen anything you could even come close to classifying as supernatural?
No, but I've seen many, many cases like Allison's.
Right.
Many.
I've never seen a goddamn thing. Nothing.
I've seen many cases like Allison, and I'll play the odds.
That I've heard, but I've never seen or heard of anything. Yet, the same people see him many, many times. Let me explain that. And it's always people, like I said, grew up in a place where it was sort of fertile. You know what I mean? Like New Orleans. Somewhere in Louisiana.
Suggestive.
Yeah, well, it's part of the culture.
Right.
Show me someone from Encino or Tucson that's seen anything supernatural.
So you don't think there's ghosts at all? That there's just no way that there are spirits walking the earth? And
I believe there is some energy that we cannot always explain,
right,
for instance. And I don't know if it means, I don't think it was somebody who died whose energy is left behind. But I do understand there are forces people cannot explain. But as far as the sort of theory of the ghost and that whole sort of consistent thing where, you know, these crackpots that come on TV and they go, I can't think of the guy's name, but he's talking to somebody. And wait a minute, they're saying that, yes, she's fine, and she's talking to this guy and that guy. That's all nonsense. It's sort of based on what we want to believe. I don't think that stuff exists. I understand. Right.
It's just like you hear about old historical buildings where people for years have, you know, heard people walking at night. Or
why do they stay in just those buildings then?
if they died there or they grew up there, they have a special
connection
with
that. And I hear about those stories too, and they're always real intriguing. But how come they can never really pull any kind of definitive evidence out of that? I mean, they know where these houses are, and they've been haunted for hundreds of years, and on a weekly basis, someone's dragging a chain through the attic. But yet, with all the sophisticated surveillance devices and all the ways, I mean, we have ways of picking up energy levels and things like that. They never quite figure it out. It's never anything conclusive. It's the same with the UFO business. I mean, everyone has a story, but again, there's never any real.
Well, I think people like to have stories. It's interesting.
That.
It's scary.
People like scary. Right.
It's fun.
I believe that people that are interested in this have many stories and have many experiences over their lives. And the people that don't believe and aren't interested in it mysteriously or magically never see anything ever.
Right.
And that suggests to me that it's not the ones that aren't interested in it that are ignoring it. It's the ones that are interested in it sort of kind of manufacturing it. I mean, your mind is pretty powerful. I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, if you just close your eyes, you see many, many different colors,
and
lights.
And you can conclude anything you want. I did a radio show over the weekend where a guy goes, oh, my God, I watched this video where this 9-year-old Asian kid plays the piano like Beethoven, and he puts on these recitals, and between each piece, he goes and hugs his mother because he's only 9 years old, and if that doesn't prove that reincarnation exists, I don't know what does. Okay.
Right.
See, you can, you know, if you don't know the facts, if people really don't know what is, then it's very easy to fill it in with all sorts of explanations.
Right. All right. Now, do the math on reincarnation. I don't think it works. All right. Where the hell were we?
We're done for the spring.
No, we're not. David?
Yeah.
You're 23.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to thank you for what you said about the cops. Not all of us are out there to, you know, blow people away or give people a hard time.
Are you a cop yourself?
No, actually, I'm taking the tests.
What department are you going to be with?
Police department or sheriff's department.
Which one? L.A. County?
A little bit north of there.
I don't know.
Ventura County?
All right. Here's what I'm saying, and it bears repeating. Cops have a very stressful job. Ugh. And I do not want cops trying to figure out, by the way, who's really going to make an assault on them and who's not. You know what I mean? In that split second.
Right.
My plan is if you walk at a cop and you're either holding a gun or you're holding a feather duster, and the cop tells you to drop on the ground and you ignore it, fine. He can shoot you. I got no problem with that. I really don't. And the reason, I've said this repeatedly, I don't have a problem with that, is it ain't going to happen to me, and it ain't going to happen to Drew, and it ain't going to happen to anyone I know, because the second the cop says, I'm on the ground. I'm actually will dig myself into the pavement and lie down so that, because I misunderstood, I thought he wanted me level with the ground. I thought he wanted my ass to just be like a speed bump in the parking lot. I watch this cop show on a nightly basis, and these guys come walking out of their house, and there's five cops with their guns drawn, and I mean, they're looking serious, and when your finger's on the trigger, it doesn't take much more than a hiccup to pull it, and they're yelling, down on your knees, down on your knees, and the guy's still walking at him going, what's up, man, what's up, and it's like, shoot him, I'm fine with that, I am so good with that. I really am. I'm happy to see that.
The people in this world ought to know that not all cops are out there just to beat people up.
Well, almost none are.
I don't think
people like me are out there to try and make a difference because something happened to us that we don't want happening to other people.
What happened to you?
Well, I was going into a jewelry store to get my girlfriend a engagement ring, and she was shot and killed in a drive-by.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wow, that is heavy.
So, you know.
And so that, how long ago was that?
That was about 4 years ago.
You see why no one should buy engagement rings? I'm so glad you brought that up, David, because that brings me to another point.
No, come on. It's amazing, though, that his whole life becomes about managing the feelings about that sentinel event.
Well, good. He takes a negative situation, and he turns it into something positive, you know, possibly for him and the community. I'm sorry that had to happen to you, David, but I'm telling you. I'm I'm not for the cops who like to camp out and bust people for minor traffic violations. That is pussy ass. And I don't like a lot of them wasting a lot of time, you know, sort of playing grab ass. But in terms of shooting people, I'm all about that. I'm all about it. Because you get pulled over, put your hands on the goddamn steering wheel. Yes, sir. No, sir. You'll be fine. We'll take a break.
Hi, this is Victoria Silstead, Playboy Playman of the Year. And you are listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yes, you is. What's going on with these Playmates of the Year? The new one comes around, but I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, after they're no longer the one of the year?
Yeah. There should be some kind of reunion beach party or something.
She made a little cameo tonight on Melrose Place.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
So that's, you know.
I should think before I speak, Drew. I was napping while Victoria was making a cameo on the very last Melrose Place.
Mm.
What went on?
She played a Swedish nurse.
Anything?
That's fitting
good.
For her. Yeah.
Did the building blow up or anything big? Anything good, Anne?
Yeah, a building did blow up.
Oh,
cabin.
Did?
Yeah.
Oh, and we don't know who was in it. Oh,
yeah,
we don't care.
We do, but there was fake bodies. Peter and Amanda's body.
But the whole series is over now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
so
the
it
end
doesn't
of it?
Matter. There's no
Drew. What have we been saying for the last hour?
But I mentioned for this season.
No, it's
oh,
good.
No.
It's good.
Over.
It's canceled.
Yes.
Yeah. Now my girlfriend is going to have to find more productive ways to spend her Monday night, perhaps just sitting on the sofa and hitting herself in the head with a slipper.
Why did they cancel it? Were the ratings starting to drop? Or
I don't know. It's been on for so long.
I heard Heather Locklear was making a guest appearance on this last one. I don't watch them all, but I saw the credits. It was a special appearance.
Oh,
by
still.
Since 1974, she's been making a special appearance on Melrose Place. Jay?
Hello?
Jay, you're 14.
Yeah.
What's going on?
My girlfriend dumped me like 2 hours ago.
No, oh, that's painful. How long did you go out with her?
Not very long, but I really liked her a lot, and I knew her before that. And
How long did you go out with her, though?
Like for 2 weeks.
No, you know, it's like you have the life. You know, when you're 14, it's like being a butterfly or something. You live for a week.
Right,
you
right.
know what I mean? So 2 weeks can be fairly substantial.
Intense, anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
And she was like right now is like not a good time for her or something. And
right.
Like, she's in like a weird position or something. I want to know if that's like BS or.
It's BS.
Total BS.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jay.
The bottom line was she doesn't want to be in a relationship. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what you got to hear is what's the bottom line there. People try to soften the blows any way they can.
Oh, what do you mean? What did she mean, though? She was in, was a bad time for her to be in a relationship.
Well, I wasn't too happy about the whole thing, so I said I'd call her back. But when I did later, like half an hour later, the phone was busy. So.
Uh-huh.
Then I was just...
She's like, listen... You're making a rash decision. I'm going to call you back. Let you think it out in a minute. I'll call you back about 15 minutes.
Okay.
No, not you, Jay. No. Jay, listen. I lost your home phone number. It's in my Rolodex, and it's at my desk. I don't have it with me. Jay, she broke up with you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what she says. The bottom line is she wants to be out of the relationship. I know it's tough, but it's best that you hear the truth, and you'll be strong, and you move on to your next one.
Yep.
And that's all right.
Yep.
Okay, happens to everyone.
Don't linger.
Okay?
Okay.
And don't listen. Listen, whether you're getting fired or whether you're getting dumped, people are not cruel.
Yeah.
Most people aren't intentionally cruel. And they're going to say stuff like, hey, listen, you're a great employee, and I liked you myself. It's just things didn't really work out, and I wish you the best of luck. Now, the point is forget about all that. You're getting fired. That's the main part. Or you're getting dumped. And they're going to tell you, I hope we can be friends, or maybe some other time, or I'm just not in a good place right now, or right now I need my freedom, or I need this, or I need that, or I'm pretty burdened with school, or my grandmother's coming to town. They'll tell you anything. But you listen to the bottom line, which is you guys are no more. And if you do that in life, at least you'll know where you are. And you won't be trying to rectify something that can't be rectified. Jim?
Yes.
You're 25.
I am. I'm having a problem with my girlfriend. She's always been kind of rough in bed,
mm-hmm.
and now she's getting to the point where she wants me to smack her around and stuff like that. And I just don't know what to do.
Yeah. We don't trust her.
Did you hear that caller we had earlier this evening who was looking for the same thing from his girlfriend?
Right.
So you see where that comes from. It's usually when kids have been physically abused at particular periods of childhood that this becomes part of their sexual behaviors. And it's really a way of acting out very old primitive feelings that actually tend to distance people from one another in their intimacies. I would suggest you not get into it, not gratify that stuff.
Yeah, I know, it's tough. I mean, if you don't feel comfortable, don't do it. But what you can do is figure out why she wants to do it, and then I'll screw everything up. The sex will be horrible. Tim?
Yeah?
You're 27?
Yeah.
You have some information on the incubus?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to, like, argue with you guys or nothing, because I think you guys are great, but I was into stuff when I was younger, like Wicca and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't underestimate or, you know, doubt it, you know what I mean, because I seen stuff that, you know, like supernatural stuff. That,
like what have you seen?
Oh, just like channeling and stuff. Have you heard of that?
Uh-huh. Like when you're just surfing, like with the cable?
No. Yeah, no.
You're going, what?
You know,
how do you channel?
You know who Aleister Crowley is, right? He used to do that?
Yeah.
That stuff, like channeling through a human body. It's using a human body as a Ouija board.
Are you using the body as a Ouija board?
Using a human as a Ouija board.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
How do you use a human as a Ouija board?
Well, I mean, you can't just do it with anybody. The person's got to be able to, you know, I don't know, get himself to do it. But it's like on a Ouija board, you're talking to somebody through the Ouija board while you're right. talking to the spirit through the person. The person uh-huh. isn't actually there at the time.
Right.
But you're actually talking to the person.
Oh, right, right, yeah. Yeah, that's called having a conversation with a guy who's high. Remember this Uri Geller? He was bending spoons and all this kind of stuff. It always turns out to be nonsense. What about people who speak in tongues?
I don't know about that.
I heard about that. Kids that develop group hysterias and drop to their knees and speak in languages that they couldn't possibly know and all that.
No, I used to work with, I used to work with those crazy born-agains when I installed closets out of that hell hole in Burbank. Oh, my God. I should have killed myself at least 45 times in my life. I really should have. I was working, Frank was one of them, and Pogi.
What would he do?
And I worked with four or five... I installed closets with four or five born-again Christians, right?
And they spoke in tongues?
Who carried Bibles and asked for traveling mercy when we got in the van. And
well,
it's like,
Everlast was driving. I would, too, if I were you.
That was carpet cleaning. Oh. Everlast shot a guy a couple days later after we're working together. But the point is this is not Everlast the Rap Singer. This is the original carpet cleaning Everlast from New York. Anyway, we'd be driving around, and Frank, and these guys were great because they're all gang members who were incarcerated for a while and then mysteriously found Jesus Christ, and, you know, tattoos on their necks, but carrying the Bible. And Frank would speak in the tongues every once in a while, which is always tough when you're eating, you know. But, oh, my God, Drew, can you picture
me? Give me an example. What would he do?
Chandala, chandala! It was like his thing. Oh, yeah. He'd go into the tongues. He'd go into the tongues. And anyone who knows me, working with people that are...